Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and as we approach the first preseason game with our Falcons taking on the Jets on Friday, our man Dave Archer hanging out with us here in studio today, and we wanted to grab Dave for a few minutes, Mike, to talk about a variety of things. I mean, listen, we saw the first week of camp, and there are a lot of things to talk about, but let's start with what impressed you most. What have you seen that you kind of went, wow?
Well, I think there's some things that probably from a layman fan standpoint, you're going to have to wait for it to happen in the game. But there's some pretty cool combinations that I see coming up from a play call standpoint, both in the field and the red zone from our offensive side of the football. Some of the ways they're using in combination the backs with the receivers, maybe a tight split from Jones and Coleman motions out of the backfield just beyond Julio. And then you stand up and you throw a quick screen to Coleman. Jones is in front blocking. Or you pump fake to Coleman and Jones is running down the field with Ridley dragging across the front. Just little combination stuff that shows me that they're really using a lot of imagination to try to create opportunities for each one of these guys to get the ball. I remember playing, I was fortunate enough to be around Joe Gibbs in his heyday. And they had three guys to catch the football: Art Monk, Gary Sanders, Ricky Clark. And then they had a guy in the backfield named Kelvin Bryant. Okay. He would stay up at night, Monday and Tuesday night, to create opportunities, five opportunities for each guy. So you'd come in and say, okay, today this formation is this, and this is the way we're going to get Gary Clark the ball. And I don't know if they're doing that, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. Kind of they're getting the laboratory coats on and trying to create some stuff.
You recognize the voices. Dave Archer with us. He and Wes Drew Ham will have the call from MetLife coming up on Friday against Gangrene. So we were at practice. We were talking about the same stuff. All the media elite that was assembled.
Elite?
Looking at what was going down. But, yeah, just trying to get those mismatches because I think you said it the other day at practice. I mean, there's so much talent out there. Calvin Ridley, Sanu. Who's going to benefit from all these new tweaks?
Well, I think everybody with a team will. You know, when you've got that many guys, it can create problems. Now, think about it. If I'm a defensive coordinator and I go in and I watch tape on the Falcons on Monday, because that's when we start game planning. I'm going to put my defensive game plan together. And if I see the variety of uses for all these guys across the board, you know, what the hell are you going to do? Okay, you can't double this guy because that guy will kill you. Okay, do we play zone? Now Ryan wears you out, completes 35 passes in a game because you're playing a soft zone, just works the ball down the field. So it does create problems for game planning because I've got to put together a game plan on Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday that I introduce on Wednesday. I can't still be coming up with game plan on Wednesday. I got 2 days to get ready for these guys, and then I've got to give them as much information as I can, show them as many looks, draw as much stuff up as on cards that I can show them physically in practice that they can get a rep on. Well, if there's a variety of stuff, it makes it really difficult to rep everything. So now I got to go the basic stuff, and what are you leaving out? And that's the stuff that'll touch you on a Sunday.
Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk Falcons. There is a great piece that we're talking about today on the show in regards to Matt Ryan, and it's the first time that we've heard Matt talk about the pregnancy, the issues from last season. And if you've not checked it out, Mike and I have been talking about it today, but I want to get your opinion on this because as I read through this piece, it's by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. It points out that he's human. As he went through these things with his wife last year, we didn't know he's spending the night at the hospital sleeping with her while he's trying to get ready for that Eagles game. And I think it kind of puts things in perspective. Now, Matt didn't play bad, but it also helps us understand how much was going on and how he had to focus on the game. And it just gets to the growth of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think that you make a great point, Carl, in the fact when you start talking about the human side of it, we see him as these superheroes playing football. And you don't realize that they've got lives just like we all do. We all are dealing with stuff each and every day during the week. You and I both have kids, and there's things that go on there that you worry about. You know, is one of them sick? One of them's got something going on in school? Is there something going on with a boyfriend? Whatever it is, you've got those worries that supersede your work, but you still got to get your job done. So you can imagine him trying to play at the highest level with the fact that his wife is having this really difficult pregnancy, and are the kids going to survive? And frankly, I went through the same thing. We had twins that were prematurely born at 29 weeks. We were told that one of them was not going to survive. My wife went on bed rest at 15 weeks and spent the next 14 weeks on bed rest. And that's kind of some of the things that Sarah was going through. And then when they're born, now they've got heart monitors on them. They're trying to make sure that their lungs are fully developed. And this is all stuff that doesn't have anything to do with football. Yet you got a guy getting ready to try to go beat the Eagles in their building in a playoff game. That really magnifies kind of who he is. And I think that shows you how much he cares about both, obviously, his family, but how much he cares about his job as well.
Dave Archer's with us, guys. If you just tuned in talking about that, the Jeff Schultz article in The Athletic about Matt Ryan and everything that was going on in his life. All right, so now it's time for preseason. What are we looking for? Obviously, we don't want to see the starters go too deep after us bellyaching about Julio for all offseason. I mean, it is important to get a rhythm. Matt did tell us at a press conference the other day about the rhythm and the reps. It is part of the process.
Yeah, I will tell you, Mike, and I know you're very interested in how many reps they got at the back shoulder fade in the end zone.
I want to know.
They practiced post-practice. Now, this was a player-run drill. So Ryan was with Ridley, Jones, Sanu, Hardy, and then both running backs. And they worked on red zone throws from like the 7-yard line, throwing back shoulder fades, front shoulder fades, pylon throws, wheel routes from the slot, all that kind of stuff. So they were working on that. But to answer your question, you're right, Mike. You're not going to see these guys for very long, maybe a series. If they went 3 and out, you might kick them back in there, but maybe not. This is going to be more about some of these younger players, and I'm not talking about Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley will play, but I'm talking about some of these guys that are maybe going to infiltrate themselves into Keith Armstrong's special teams units and stuff. I'm really going to be interested to watch that part of it, because remember, the rules have changed on the kick game, and you can't have the wedge, two-man wedge. You get this area where they have this set area where 15, I think it's 9 of the eight of the 11 players have to be in an area about 15 yards from where you kick from. Only 3 guys can be deep, which eliminates wedges. So what does that do body-wise? Okay, am I going to have the big guy on the field? No, probably not. Now it's going to be more linebackers, safeties, covering kicks, and also blocking for the kicks. So it's going to be interesting to see how much that changes, because you're going to be playing more in space in that area. So that's what I'm looking for, those guys that are going to step up and help contribute in that area, as well as obviously contribute on defense and offense.
Arch, we had a chance to talk to Brandon Fusco. It is Fusco, not Fusco. And we make jokes. But he seems to be a guy that gets it. He's happy to be here. He said he had a conversation with Kyle Shanahan before he came, and Shanahan was like, look, you're going to a great place. I think you can help those guys, and he's coming with the right attitude. Is he better than what we currently have on the old line, and is he going to shore up the right guard spot is my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's going to have to play out, Carl, during the preseason. I think that Quinn's been very adamant about the fact that both those guys are getting reps. We're talking about Schweitzer and Fusco, and Lavitre coming off injury as well. I mean, there's a little bit of a rotation in there, and also Garland sliding in some. Douglas is another kid that's going to factor. He can play center. So watch that interior four. It might not be the guys you think are going to play. And I think anybody that thinks that Wes Schweitzer is going to be the same player he was last year that he is this year, totally wrong. You can't be. He played 16 regular season games, played in the playoffs. He saw a whole bunch of stuff he'd never seen before prior to last year. He's going to be a better player, so he's putting up a pretty good fight for his job.
And just to follow up on Schweitzer, because we talked about it the other day at practice, I saw they had them both rotating left and right guard, and they do the cross-training thing. So you're saying is stop bailing on Schweitzer because he might just be important this year.
Yeah, I think that there's no question he's going to be important from a depth standpoint if he's not the starter, Mike. If Fusco does end up starting, you really like the guy that you're plugging in. Remember last year we had to plug Garland, you thought, Can he play?
Right.
Can he play guard? You know, we saw him make a sack in a playoff game, but that's not playing guard. So, and he did okay, but now you've got some real depth.
It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. Him and Wes with the call. Guys, the Jets are taking on the Falcons on Friday right here on 92.9 The Game. So also, speaking of guys I've killed, Hooper, great draft class for tight ends, and they said stay loyal. And then we talked to Hooper. Carl did the interview where Hoops talked about literally he'd be at like Matt's front door like, you want to play catch? So he's putting the work in, you know, 500 catches and all that. Is that a guy where we expect him to see the touchdowns increase?
It has to, Mike. I think he has to step up, not only touchdowns, but even though we were number one in the league on third down on offense a year ago, he's got to help contribute in that area. And Matt's got to know that he can throw him the ball and the ball's going to be caught. We had a couple of instances where they were tipped off his hands, picked off. One ended a game for us. I believe the Miami game, we lost the Miami game on a ball that was off his chest down in the red zone going in. I think he's got to contribute in all areas, and he's got to step up his game. There's a couple of guys on this team that have to step up his game. He's one of them as a starter. I'm looking at Duke Riley. Riley's got to step up. He was drafted high. He's got to step up and contribute. Expect DeMonte Casey to take his game to another level as well. Tells you a little bit about, I know you guys have been talking about Ricardo Allen and his new deal. It says a lot about what they think about Ricardo. But it also is going to be interesting to see how they play that. Ricardo stays in the back end. Casey is a guy they love because he can get to the football. 15 interceptions in college. He's already made a couple picks. You guys were out there when he had the pick six for the touchdown in the scrimmage. He's a guy they'd like to get on the field because of his coverage ability and tackling ability. So now does Keanu Neal play nickel linebacker with a bigger body opposite Debo? And now Casey comes in as a dime player. So that's going to be fun to watch that matchup as well.
That's interesting. And here's the deal. Arch is saying we've got a lot of flexibility on defense, maybe as much as we've had in many years here with the kind of players that Quinn has brought in. You know, we talk about this versatility and guys playing different positions. We're not talking about that. We're saying in nickel and dime packages, which you're in a lot, 70% of the time, you have all these combinations that you can go to. We've not talked a lot about the defense. It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. I think that's a function of we all think this defense is going to be pretty good, right? Yeah. We've talked a lot about the offense, but we kind of all think, we hope, the defense is going to be really good.
Yeah, I think hope, you're kind of guarded. It was a top 10 defense for the first time in Matt Ryan's career as a coach or as a quarterback. He's got a top 10 defense. Now, how do we cash that in? They've got to improve in the red zone as well defensively. What you would like to see them do is climb into the top, may not be a top five numbers-wide, but a top five defense scoring defense. Keep people off of the board and improve on third down. Two areas, third down, red zone defense is where I like to see them improve. I know you guys have been talking a lot about Tack McKinley. He had a really good practice today, was very much involved in what was going on, was part of the rotation. So I know all of us were a little bit concerned, you know, because of the banged up shoulder. It was the one that had gotten hurt in college, but it was a bruise. It was not any kind of tear or anything like that. It was just a bruise. He was back getting after it, setting the edge, getting after the pass. So that was good to see.
Dave Archer with us here live in studio. We're just talking about the pass rush yesterday and seeing, you know, Vic and Tack. How big a year is this for Vic Beasley? You know, to see, is he a double-digit guy? Does he fit? Because there's going to be one odd man out on these contracts at some point.
Well, I think that Vic has got to take his game back up to where at least you're seeing 8 or 10 sacks. Mm-hmm. Now, does he need to be 15 and a half like he was a couple years ago? That'd be great. I think Tack's going to be more impactful. And watch for maybe a little bit better interior pass rush with Jack Crawford on the field. Jack's got a little bit of shake to him on the inside. Obviously, we know how Grady can create problems on the inside. I think if you start paying too much attention to those guys on the perimeter, and let's hope they create problems where I'm having to expend resources to take care of both Tack and Vic coming off the edge, or we can get some interior push. You guys talk about it all the time. How do you affect the quarterback the most? That's that interior push through guys, especially guys like Drew Brees.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Good to see you. And guys, you'll listen to him on Friday. Of course, all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game throughout the course of the season as we are your official home of the Atlanta Falcons. Dave Archer, talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Keep laying it down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.